Your healthcare premiums are going up once again, 3.8% on average next year. That is less of an increase than we saw in 2014 and well below the industry average. Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller's here with details on changes to the federal government's 2015 healthcare coverage for employees and retirees. Why did OPM, Jason, say that healthcare premiums are going up in 2015?
I think there's several reasons for the increase of healthcare costs. Of course, let's just start with inflation. Things always seem to go up. I mean, milk, bread, insurance. John O'Brien is the Office of Personnel Management's Director of Healthcare Insurance. He says actually OPM stopped determining why the increases happened this year because he said there's so many factors that went into it. It just became so confusing. But he says there's been moderate growth this year, but no one area increased more than the other, with only prescription drug costs seeing a larger increase than the other areas.
Last year, the average increase was 3.7%. And to put all that into perspective, this is the fourth consecutive year of sub 4% increases in FEHB premiums. This is the lowest consistent set of low premiums that the FEHB has had since the early 90s. We're very encouraged by that. I think this is not only are we happy for the program, but it seems that some of the competitive changes put in place by the Affordable Care Act seem to have some spillover effect that is also helping the FEHB. The rate increase in the government share of premiums for 2015 will be 3%. The average enrollee share will increase by 3.8%. The employee share is rising faster than the government share because of the enrollee selection of health plans.
Now, if you're doing the math at home, Francis, and you're thinking 3% for the government, 3.8% for the federal employees, how does that come to 3.2%? Well, it's obviously not that average. You're not taking those two numbers and making the average, because I think that'd be somewhere closer to 3.4%. But basically, OPM has a formula by which they calculate how many people are into which plan and how much those plans are increasing, and that's how they get through this magical formula. I think it's probably geometry or something. You know, I didn't do that well in high school in there, but that's how they get to 3.2%. So people, you know, when people are listening to this, they can't do the direct math, and I don't want to lead them down the path to say, you know, 3%, 3.8% does not equal 3.2%. We do get that.
Right.
Now, O'Brien says, for example, he uses this example from Blue Cross Blue Shield. About 60% of all feds use Blue Cross Blue Shield. The workers are paying more for their health care because Blue Cross Blue Shield's premiums are higher than what he calls the weighted average. Again, when you look at all the 250-odd programs that are out there. O'Brien says those feds using Blue Cross Blue Shield's standard coverage, which is most popular, will see an average increase of $3.21 for self-coverage and $8.33 for family coverage. Both of those numbers are per pay period increases, so every 2 weeks. O'Brien says on average, now this is all the programs, you know, all the health care coverage in general, feds covering their self only will see an increase of $2.93 per pay period, while for family coverage, that increase will be $6.89 per pay period. Now, you're thinking, oh, that's more money out of my pocket, but, you know, for those non-Postal Service federal employees, they should actually feel pretty good about it, because the Postal Service employees are seeing a much larger increase. OPM says postal rates will increase as much as 19% for employee contributions. The total premiums, however, are only going up by 3.4%. John Foley is OPM's Director of Planning, Policy, and Analysis.
There's a couple things going on with the postal plans. First of all, as in years past, the employee contribution is a negotiated amount. It's negotiated with the different postal bargaining units, and so it's not as uniform as John described for other federal employees. So that's one thing that's going on. In the last year, the postal unions have, the employee share has gone up through the bargaining process in general. And there's a little bit of the artifact of the comparison that it makes it difficult to use the employee numbers because the mix of employees in the category last year is different than the mix of the employees in the category this year. So the amount of the increase appears greater than it actually is.
Now, Foley says the Postal Service employee contributions are based on the government cap, which is in 2015, 80% of total costs versus 83.5% last year. And then there's a whole more complicated around, you know, the categories and employees. So we're going to try to put some of that up on federalnewsradio.com to help people understand that and maybe easier to read it versus to listen to us talk about it. Let me give you just some real little context about the FEHBP. OPM says there are 257 plan choices government-wide in 2015, including four new plans. That's actually one more total plan as compared to last year. Of those 257 plans, OPM says 11 are open to all federal employees and retirees. And the FEHBP has an annual spend of about $48 billion and serves more than 8.2 million federal employees, retirees, and family members.
Now, we're talking about health care so far. What is happening with vision and dental care for next year?
Dental and vision insurance also are increasing, but not as much. O'Brien says there's about 1.4 million feds and retirees who bought dental coverage, and that they'll see an increase of about 1.7% on average. There's about a million people who bought vision insurance, they're enrolled in vision insurance last year, and those people will see an average increase of about 1.5%. So about half as much as what they saw with the health care and coverage. Now remember, open season kicks off November 10th, and the OPM expects an average of about 8 to 10% increase in feds and retirees signing up for insurance, says O'Brien.
Last year, we rebid the contract for dental and vision every 7 years. So last year, we had just finished the bidding cycle, and we had added, I think we now have 10 dental plans and 4 different vision plans, so we had increased the number of dental plans available to folks. And so those plans then price their products every year. So we have a nice competitive market. The fact that we continue to see fairly significant growth within the FEHB of folks who take up both of these programs, I think, is an attractive feature for any insured dental or vision insurer who participates in our program. You've got, in the case of dental, 1.4 million people who are opting into some dental plan. That's a pretty nice market to try and get at. And it seems to be, we are being rewarded in the fact that competition seems to be keeping the prices reasonable.
That's John O'Brien, the Office of Personnel Management's Director of Health Care and Insurance. He's talking about vision and dental. Now, that's a big deal. There's health care, but there's even more happening, Francis.
Yeah, there were a lot of changes that we saw last year. What are we learning about changes for the coming year?
I think there's two big ones this year that I would like to highlight. The first is around wellness. OPM said in their carrier letter in March, they asked providers for 2015 to focus on giving federal employees more incentives to improve their health. O'Brien says OPM doesn't know how many and which steps carriers are specifically taking, but they know they are offering incentives this year.
Of the top 20 largest plans in the FEHB, about 40% of them offered an incentive, many of them offering around $50 or less to fill out the HRA.
And refers to is a health assessment survey. That's the survey that feds can use as kind of a baseline, and then they can build goals on top of that. Let me give you one example. Blue Cross Blue Shield is offering employees $50 to take the survey and $35 more to reach their wellness goals. So, you know, $85 is not a bad incentive to try to just get a little more healthy.
Not at all.
The other change is around flexible spending accounts and dependent care accounts. This is those, you know, you get the pre-tax dollars taken out to pay for medical bills, as well as dependent care if you have kids or other needs. O'Brien says there are two new features for flexible spending accounts.
One is we have a lower annual minimum, $100. That lowers the bar for people going in. The attraction for us is this is a good benefit for folks who have any kind of out-of-pocket costs. This is a pre-tax benefit. By dropping it to $100, we avoid having people having the sticker shock of, if I don't use my benefit, I'm going to leave money on the table. So we're hoping this will induce some new people to try these flexible accounts, and hopefully, as they get comfortable with them, use them more in the future. And the other one is the ability to carry over up to $500 of unused funds into the following year, and this is for the health accounts. There will no longer be a grace period. In previous years, you were not allowed to carry over funds. However, you still could incur expenses until March 15th of the following year. The rules for flexible spending accounts are set by the IRS, and you can either do the carryover or you can have the grace period. The rules changed, allowing the carryover last October. We made no decision. We left the grace period in place the last year. Of the FSA feds, because we wanted to study it a bit more. So we did a survey of enrollees in FSA feds, and the preference among people who used the benefit was that they would rather the carryover of 500 rather than the grace period, and that is why we are moving toward the grace period.
That is a report from Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller. And the bottom line here, Jason, is the average is just that. It's an average. Some plans will go up and some will go down, right?
Absolutely. In fact, what we'll try to do is link to the OPM documents, because I know I've already gotten a couple comments of people going, well, what about my specific plan? And of course, there's 250 plans. We can't highlight them all, but we can highlight maybe some of the bigger ones that are going to go up, such as, you know, we talked about Blue Cross Blue Shield quite a bit. There's other HMOs and other, you know, Cigna and some of the United Healthcare that we can highlight. So we will add that to the website later this afternoon and tomorrow morning. So people should look out for that. But, you know, things aren't bad news. I mean, you know, people never like their costs to go up. But, if you look at the standard across the private sector, healthcare costs are going up anywhere from 4 to 10%. So, you know, federal employees under 4%, that's not such a bad deal. It's never easy when more money's coming out of your pocket. But in the end, you know, you got to take it all. You got to be pragmatic about it all.